जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी।
गोपीजन वल्लभा
गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी। यशो नंदना व्रजन रंजना यशोदा नंदना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी तीरावनचारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे। जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे। Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Parmahamsa Parivrita Acharya Stotra Satasi Srimad Divine Grace अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की फर्स्ट कॉन्फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा सदि गौर भक्त वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की श्री प्रभुपाद की प्रभुपाद अनुगा की समवेत भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज असेंबल द बॉडीज अ ग्लोरीज असेंबल द बॉडीज अ ग्लोरीज असेंबल द बॉडीज ऑल ग्लोरीज अ ग्लोरीज अ ग्लोरीज श्री श्री गुरुन गौरंग गौर श्री प्रभुपाद ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम द बर्थ ऑफ एम्परर परीक्षित कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 4 सुतवाच अपिपलत् धर्मराजः पितृवत् रंजयन् प्रजाः निःस्पृह सर्वकामेभ्यः कृष्णपादानुसेवया प्लीज रिपीट सूत गोस्वामी सूतवाच अपिपलत् धर्मराजः पितृवत् रंजयन् प्रजाः निःस्पृह सर्वकामेभ्यः कृष्णपादानुसेवया सूतवाच अपीपलद्धर्मराजः पितृवत् रंजयन् प्रजाः निःस्पृह सर्वकामेभ्यः कृष्णपादानुसेवया सूतवाच अपीपलद्धर्मराजः पितृवत् रंजयन् प्रजाः निःस्पृह सर्वकामेभ्यः कृष्णपादानुसेवया
Yeah.
Sutta Vacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, Abhi Palat, administered prosperity. Dharmarajaha, King Yudhishthira, Pitruvat,
exactly like his father,
Ranjayan,
pleasing,
Prajaha,
all those who took birth,
Nihaspraha,
without personal ambition,
Sarva,
all,
Kamebhyaha,
from sense gratification,
Krishnapada,
the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna,
Anusevaya,
by dint of rendering continuous service.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Translation, Sri Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthira administered generously to everyone during his reign. It was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service under the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna.
Purport.
As mentioned in our introduction, there is a need for the science of Krishna in human society, for all suffering humanity of the world. And we simply request the leading personalities of all nations to take to the science of Krishna for their own good, for the good of society and for the good of all the people of the world. So it is confirmed herein by the example of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the personality of goodness. In India, the people hanker after Rama Rajya because the personality of Godhead was the ideal king, and all other kings or emperors in India controlled the destiny of the world for the prosperity of every living being who took birth on the earth. Herein the word prajaha is significant. The etymological import of the word is that which is born. On the earth, there are many species of life from the aquatics up to the perfect human beings, and all are known as prajas. Lord Brahma, the creator of this particular universe, is known as Prajapati because he is the grandfather of all who have taken birth. This praja is used in a broader sense than it is now used. The king represents all living beings, the aquatics, plants, trees, reptiles, birds, animals and man. Every one of them is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita 14.4. And the king, being the representative of the Supreme Lord, is duty-bound to give proper protection to every one of them. This is not the case with the presidents and dictators of this demoralized system of administration, where the lower animals are given no protection, while the higher animals are given so-called protection. But this is a great science, which can be learned only by one who knows the science of Krishna. By knowing the science of Krishna, one can become the most perfect man in the world, and unless one has knowledge in this science, all qualifications and doctorate diplomas acquired by academic education are spoilt and useless. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew the science of Krishna very well, for it is stated here that by continuous cultivation of this science or by continuous devotional service to Lord Krishna, he acquired the qualification of administering the state. The father is sometimes seemingly cruel to the son, but that does not mean that the father has lost the qualification to be a father. A father is always a father because he always has the good of the son at heart. The father wants every one of his sons to become a better man than himself. Therefore, a king like Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was the personality of goodness, wanted everyone under his administration, especially human beings, who have better developed consciousness, to become devotees of Lord Krishna, so that everyone can become free from the trifles of material existence. His motto of administration was all good for the citizens, for as personified goodness he knew perfectly well what is actually good for them. He conducted the administration on that principle and not on the Rakshashi demoniac principle of sense gratification. As an ideal king, he had no personal ambition and there was no place for sense gratification because all his senses at all times were engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Lord, which includes the partial service to the living beings who form the parts and parcels of the complete whole. Those who are busy rendering service to the parts and parcels, leaving aside the whole, only spoil time and energy, as one does when watering the leaves of a tree without watering the root. If water is poured on the root, the leaves are enlivened perfectly and automatically. But if water is poured on the leaves only, the whole energy is spoiled. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, was constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, and thus the parts and parcels of the Lord, the living beings, under his careful administration, were perfectly attended with all comforts in his life and all progress in the next. That is the way of perfect management of state administration. Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is a chapter called The Birth of Emperor Parikshit. We have been reading the glories of Emperor Parikshit earlier also, how he was specially favored by Krishna. And here we are seeing a eulogy, praise given to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Specifically, it's mentioned here, he administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was free from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service under the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj's qualities are glorified. These are not only leadership qualities. We can dismiss them as being leadership qualities. I don't want to be a leader. I'm not a leader, so I don't have to worry about it. No, these are not only leadership qualities. When a person has qualities and they are great qualities, then he automatically becomes a leader. It's not that because he's a leader, he has got qualities. It's just that because he has qualities, he's naturally a leader. So Yudhishthira Maharaj did not study MBA to become a leader. He did not do his PhD in some university to become a leader. He was simply minding his own business of life. That is becoming Krishna conscious. And there were byproducts as qualities which he had, which made him a fitting leader. They said, can you do this seva? He said, if you all bless me, if you want me to do, I will do. He did not become a leader. I want to be a leader, I want to be a leader, I want to occupy that position. This is a big difference with modern leaders. Everybody is being given leadership lessons, leadership courses, and finally they flunk everything in practical life. They are miserable leaders. Because leadership comes from inside out. What's the main thing here about leadership? He was freed from sense gratification because of continuous service under the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. Then you can be a leader. Which leader is going to do that? Continuously serve the Supreme Lord Krishna. Nobody outside is going to do that. They are continuously going to serve Maya. They are continuously going to pursue sense gratification. They may be fantastic in their oratorial skills, in their planning of how to make a project successful, in their very good organization to make profits, in their very wonderful exploitation of other beings for making economic advancement. All these things they are good at, but let them look at themselves inside. It's completely rotten. It's completely rotten. That's why no leadership stands the test of time. It doesn't stand the test of time. It just comes for a little bit, some karma, and disappears. And mostly people wonder, how did this fellow become a leader with this type of internal crisis he has? And mostly they discover it after he has been a leader. So this way, leaders come, leaders go, is a very wonderful description of our leadership in the world. Here they come, here they go. When they come, they are glorified. Before they go, there will be 10 court cases against them, scandals, everything, they are gone. Then their internal life becomes public. Then everybody gets, chah, you are like this? I thought you are a great leader. But I hid it all along so that I can take that post and enjoy it. Now that I've enjoyed it, I am going to make my private life public. I don't care. Because I already became a leader. Ha 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 ha. I fooled all of you. So this is the miserable content of everybody in the material world. Because they are not servants of Krishna. They are not serving the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. When a person is a servant of Krishna and he has developed love for Krishna and Vaishnavas and he is very fixed and focused on that, he is not bothered whether he is a leader or not. Because he is leading himself properly. He is a leader of himself properly. Then I don't have any desire for becoming externally a leader and occupying a post which I am not qualified to. Out of frustration that you are not able to lead yourself properly, people want to somehow occupy some post so that some little amelioration of that frustration will be there. At least I became a so-and-so and I have got command over so much of assets and people. See, that's where leadership fails, because we have leaders who cannot lead themselves. They don't know the goal of life. You see. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, the Supreme Lord Chaitanya is the leader of all devotees. It's a very loaded statement. He is the leader of all devotees. Why? Because he has become a devotee himself. And he is leading himself perfectly. Therefore, others follow his example. He becomes a natural leader of all the devotees. So, if we simply follow our own sadhana properly and look inside and keep correcting ourselves, then we will naturally become leaders. Why? Because people will come to you to get counseled, to get advice. And when you give them that advice, it will be real and genuine because you are doing it. And you are not giving it as, come here, I will give you my advice. You asked, I told you this is my experience. Automatically people are led with not great effort. Effortlessly they can be a leader because internally they are leading themselves wonderfully. Effortless leader, Yudhishthira Maharaj was. Prabhupada, you can see what an effortless leader he was. He simply led people, not by any artificial means, but by making them see what I do from morning to evening. Come and see. He had people inside the kitchen cooking with him. He had people inside a small storefront helping him to form the Krishna consciousness movement. And in this way, although he was their good friend, they did not mistake his leadership with his friendship. When he was a friend, he was a friend. When he told them, do like this, they did it. Because they had complete faith in Prabhupada's quality, his character, everything. See. So that is what is highlighted here. Devotees, by dint of their service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, they will automatically attract people. The sincere service. Anya bhilashita shunyam. With no other desire for sense gratification. All sorts of sense gratifications mentioned here. Then it says he had no personal ambition. Personal ambition means material desire. Isn't it? Personal ambition is, Prabhupada says in one lecture, it is personal ambition which is the greatest obstruction to one's own spiritual life and to the society's expansion and furtherance. So, what is personal ambition? What is personal ambition? Means, I have an agenda. Something I want to acquire for myself. And people can't notice it. I don't reveal it. But I stay within a setup. And I try to move everything towards acquiring my personal ambition. People can't notice it sometimes. Sometimes people can blatantly notice it. You can see, for example, most politicians get elected, they occupy a position, and then you can see their personal ambition coming up, gradually. And in this way, the purpose for which they were elected to do something in their leadership, to lead, they don't. They just enjoy the position, don't lead others, and have sense gratification. This is invariably the story of every leader. Yes, have sense gratification in the position. Either the sense gratification is so subtle that the gross people whom he is leading cannot understand. So they think he is a great leader, selfless leader. But the very subtle desires, people who are intelligent and who know how things work, they know this is what this person is enjoying. Subtly, that's his personal ambition. Control, position, manipulation, all these subtle rasas they are enjoying. And externally they may look as spiritual leaders who speak spiritual topics, have a huge following. So that is also personal ambition. That is also personal ambition. So Yudhishthira Maharaj had no personal ambition at all. Anya bilashita shunyam. That's the meaning of a pure devotee. Nothing for me. I'm not interested at all. I'm simply overwhelmed with love for Krishna that I can't think about anything material for myself. I can't think about it. Even if it is given to me, I don't really enjoy it or take it. So personal ambition, Prabhupada said, should be curbed. That can be curbed only when we become genuinely Krishna conscious. Genuinely Krishna conscious. Yudhishthira Maharaj exhibited that. How? He was willing to go to the forest. Okay, send me to the forest. No problem. And when he comes back, he reveals that we are Kshatriyas, we need a place to rule. Please give me 5 villages. That's all I'm asking you. To do my duty as a Kshatriya. Duryodhana refused to give that. And then again he requested. Again he sent Krishna to Dhritarashtra. He tried so many things. And then inevitable, we have to fight. And that also Arjuna felt, why fight for our own kingdom? You can see that in Bhagavad Gita. You see. This is simply lobha. He says simply greed that we are trying to get the kingdom. Why do we need it? This was the meaning of the Pandavas. They're very much oriented towards dharma. not having any personal ambition. Then Krishna tells, okay, you don't want to fight, okay, but fight for me. You don't have personal ambition, okay, but fight for me. That should become your ambition. That should become your ambition. So for the sake of Krishna, I'm willing to do. This is Yudhishthira Maharaj's attitude. These are all very deep. We cannot easily assume these things unless you have served the Lord for long. It's mentioned here, because of the continuous service under the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, unbroken. There may be problems, this, that, we never run away from assigned duty. We continue to serve. Then you become qualified to be freed from all sorts of sense gratification. It says here, continuously you serve Krishna, you'll become free from sense gratification and personal ambition. See. So this is the cure. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was such an amazing devotee. He always practiced pure dharma, being a pure devotee, and never at any time felt, I am losing something by following dharma properly. He was willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of following proper dharma. That's why he is Dharmaraj. You see, even while Duryodhana was caught in the forest trying to enjoy, and he had a fight with the Gandharvas, and the Gandharvas were almost finishing him. At that time, Arjuna and Bhima from the other side of the lake were watching and said, very good, you suffer. And Yudhishthira said, he was doing Homa and he looked up and he said, this is what is happening to our dear cousin Duryodhana, go and help him. And Bhima, Arjuna said, what's wrong with you? You're off or something? He's the person who threw us out and we are in the forest. And if something is happening to him, let it happen. What's your problem? He said, no, you cannot watch and keep quiet. You are his cousin. He is our relative, our family member. Some Gandharvas are attacking. You must go and protect. And there was an argument between Bhima and Yudhishthira. Bhima said, you are off. What is wrong with you? And Yudhishthira explained, no, you must go and save him. Go immediately. And with great difficulty, Arjuna and Bhima said, why we have to go and do this? But they went and fought the Gandharvas, and the Gandharvas said, relax, you don't have to fight us. We are with you. To protect you only we came. This rascal, I know why he has come here. So they brought, Gandharvas and Bhima and Arjuna brought Duryodhana together to Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira advised Duryodhana, you should not do things like this. Right? And he gave him advice, how you should be as a king, what you should do, what you should not do. The advice. And then he released him, cut off the ropes tying him. Before that, Bhima said, my dear brother Yudhishthira, we did what you want to do. We brought Duryodhana. Why didn't he give me one word? He pulled out his sword and said, I'll lop off his head. Let's go to the kingdom of Hastinapura and take over. Finished. Let's do it. Yudhishthira said, no. That will be a heinous sin, a crime. And Bhima was not able to adjust to this. And he released Duryodhana and left him. You see, this was Yudhishthira, always dependent on Krishna, always performing dharma properly. Everything will happen if we sincerely follow the instructions of Krishna, he will look after. This was the faith. So a devotee of the Lord, he should culture the faith that Krishna will protect. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye. So this is the meaning of surrender. Yudhishthira Maharaj was very surrendered. He was very surrendered to Krishna. Not that he was a coward. Not that he could not perform certain things. He is capable of doing wonderful things. But he was always remaining surrendered. So, this is how a person becomes a leader. He does not go and study some university degree to become a leader. It's not so easy to be. It's so silly to think that you do some MBA and you can be a leader. You can start a business. You can start a business and you can make money. That's what it teaches you. Right? That's what it teaches you. So, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted everybody to be a leader, to lead people into Krishna consciousness. Being a guru is the highest form of leadership. It's the highest form of leadership. It's a completely different responsibility. In this world, there are many leaders who take responsibility, not the way Yudhishthira Maharaj took. Yudhishthira Maharaj is mentioned took responsibility for all the citizens. Praja, Prabhupada explains. And he kept all of them very happy. Administered generously to everyone during his reign. Really looked after them. Looked after them not for popularity and for vote. He didn't look after them for popularity and vote. They all liked him very much, but he was banned to the forest. Ramachandra was so dear to everybody. All the servants in the palace will die for Ramachandra. All the citizens will die for him. Everybody who knows Ramachandra, he has interactions with them, friendship with them, and they'll do anything for him. A very young, wonderful, dynamic person. Everybody knew he is the natural king. He is the natural king. But one fine day, everything changed upside down. So fast. And Ramachandra didn't bat an eyelid. He accepted and he left to the forest. It was so shocking for people. But he was such a true leader that he was able to accept immediately the reversals. Whatever you tell me to do, my dear father, I am bound to do it. Let Bharata be king, if that's what Kaikeyi desires. And let me go to the forest, if that's what you want me to do. And immediately adapted himself to the forest. But it's mentioned that all of them, including in the forest and in Ayodhya, they all knew he is our leader, including Bharata. You must come back and be my leader. Bharata was such a great leader that when he came to know, he came back from his father-in-law's place and he was wondering why everything is so quiet, why people are like this, so many things were happening. He came back and when he heard from his first person to hear from is his mother, she came smiling, embraced him. Then he said, Mother, where is my father? What happened? Why is everybody so quiet and it's very eerie silence here? Then she told him, My dear son, you know, very diplomatically she spoke to him. Your father passed away. Then he fell down, fainted. My father passed away. She didn't tell him how he passed away, why he passed away. Then gradually she told him. When she told him, very diplomatically put, Bharata was intelligent enough to understand that you are the cause for my father's death. And you think that you, for my sake you have done this. He said, you stupid lady. From here onwards, I don't want you to be my mother. He just immediately said this. You did this to Rama. He is the greatest leader. I will not rule here without him. I am unfit to do that. And he said, he is my leader. I will not do anything without him. And he was such a great leader that he recognized another leader in Ramachandra. He said, you are the person to do it. I'm not going to listen to my mother. I'm not going to listen to King Dasharatha also. Because they all made a mistake. My father has become confused by his great attraction for his wife. And this lady is stupid. She does not know how all the people will get affected. Jagannath Baladev Subhadramai ki. She does not know that. And you have done a foolish thing. So he, no personal ambition. Zero personal ambition. Got such a wonderful chance landed on his lap to become the emperor of the whole world. And Ramachandra is gone. Normally in this world people will snatch it. What can I do, you know? Father sent him off to sing and I'm forced to become the king. What to do? I don't like it, but I have to do it. Like that, they'll take over. Inside they are thinking, wonderful. Ayyo, what a wonderful horoscope I have. That Ramachandra went to the forest. I always wanted him to go here. But he's Ramachandra, so I could not tell it. Now my mother has done it. That lady, a great service she has done to me. In this way, externally, Bharata should have said, without Ramachandra, how can I do? But what can I do? You're forcing me, so I'll go. Then after 14 years, I'll make sure Ramachandra does not come back also. This is what is my plan inside. This is what I'll naturally do. Okay, yeah, for 14 years I can rule, but after that he'll come back, no. That is worrying me. So therefore, let's send an army to this thing. Bharata, he didn't think like this. He thought opposite. I cannot be separated from Ramachandra. And he has to be the king, not me. He faced such a horrible situation, Bharata. Nobody understood him inside. He had such great love for Ramachandra. He wanted Ramachandra to rule. But everybody could see him differently. Here comes that fellow who wants to take over kingship. All Ayodhya people don't want to look at him. They just paid cursory respect and left. And he was wondering, why is he behaving like this towards me? Then when he went and found out the story only, he came to know. Everybody was thinking this. So he assembled everybody together. And because he went to meet Kausalya, Ramachandra's mother, she also told him, now you are happy? Now you can this? He started crying, he fell down and swooned. How you can say this to me? I don't want to take the kingdom. I want Ramachandra to be there. Why you are thinking like this about me? It is not in my heart like that at all. And he consoled Kausalya. No personal ambition I have. Not even an iota. I am going, assembled everybody together. The court and everybody, all the ministers, all the elders. And he said very clearly, my stupid mother has done something completely wrong. I don't accept it. It all happened in my absence. I did not know it. If I knew it, I would have stopped it. I have no desire to become the king. I am not even thinking about it. I am always thinking Ramachandra will rule and I will help him under him as his assistant, as his servant. This is what is my ambition. My personal ambition is to become a servant of Ramachandra. And this lady has thought otherwise. Somebody has advised her wrongly. He went ahead. He said, my decision is to go, all of us together, entire Ayodhya, go to the forest, petition Bharata. I petition Ramachandra to come back. They all became so happy hearing this from Bharata. They started crying. What? He is fit to be king. They said, he is fit to be king. He said, no, I am not. I am not going to. Please come with me. All of us should go to Ramachandra and we will be able to bring him back if we all go. I alone go, it will not happen. All of you should come. They all started crying, hearing Bharat. Very rarely you will find people like that. Absolutely no personal ambition. Zero. And he led them. He said, build road to the forest for taking everybody. They did that for years together. And he said, no, I am not ruling. I am not the king. Until I meet Ramachandra. And he took everybody with supplies and everything. Days and days of camping and moving. See what a massive thing he did. He took the whole kingdom and all of the three mothers also came. Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikai came. All of them came together. Why? I don't have this ambition. Took all of them to the forest. And in the forest they were crossing that time Guha. You know that famous tribesman. He also said, why is he coming with an army? My gosh, he's coming to attack Ramachandra. Everybody thought like that about him. Everybody thought like that. And all that bad name he has to take. So actually, in many ways he was greater. Because he took all these bad titles and then kept doing the right thing. Took a lot of effort to prove to everybody, no, I am not like that. I don't want to rule. Everywhere he was subjected to this. His mother Kausalya said this. Then people in Ayodhya thought like that. Then the ministers thought like that. And Vasishtha became very happy. He wanted to just check what he's thinking. I don't know. When he came back. Then he also became happy. He's just like the great Ikshvaku dynasty's, descendant. Then he goes, crosses the border in the river. He sees Guha and saying, he assembles a whole army and comes. First let me find out what he wants. Then keep the army ready. If they're going to attack Ramachandra, we'll finish them here only. We will not allow them to cross. They came ready because they were suspecting. Then when he heard from Bharat, he became so moved. This is what he is thinking in his heart. And then when Bharat heard, this is what you are thinking about me. Again he swooned and said, what misfortune. What great misfortune for me that everybody is thinking like this about me. And not only that, army is coming inside, crossing all these things. Bharata is coming. Then they hear in the forest, Ramachandra and Lakshmana, they hear a huge cry of animals scattering, birds scattering, everything. And then they wonder, what's happening? Some disturbance. I can see everybody's birds are flying out, animals are running. They're spotting something. So he told Lakshmana, why don't you climb the tree and see what's happening? Maybe some army is coming. Maybe we have to get ready. So Lakshmana climbed up and he saw, wow, whole army is coming. And so many people, which he thought from the distance is a big army. Whole Ayodhya is coming for a different reason. And they were all coming. He thought, wow, that is Lakshmana's chariot. Emblem is here. He is coming to finish Ramachandra and us. Such a wild fellow. Because he was not there when they were sent to the forest. Now he is making sure that he'll come and finish Ramachandra so that he can go back and rule the kingdom in peace. Rascal, he got down from the tree and he started talking to Ramachandra. He started telling Ramachandra, that fellow, that Bharat, full of personal ambition, he's not satisfied with getting the kingdom alone. He has come with his army to make sure that he continues to rule beyond the 14 years. So that he won't come back to claim the kingdom as the eldest son. Right? So that rascal is coming to do this. We will finish him. Take Sita inside. I alone will do it. I'll get him. I started screaming. Ramachandra got very disturbed and angry. He alone knew Bharata is not coming for that. I know who Bharata is. He said, Lakshmana, before you conclude these things and think that you need to fight and do all these things, wait a bit. I don't think Bharata is coming for this reason. He is not thinking like that. He has no personal ambition. He is coming to get me back to rule the kingdom. But I have made my own decision already. Don't think like this. If you want the kingdom, you can leave and go now with Bharata. I will talk to him. There's no necessity to think like this. In this wild, vicious way. If you want the kingdom, I can speak to Bharata and ask him to stay with me and you can go. This is what Ramachandra told Lakshmana for thinking like that about Bharata. Lakshmana, he just withdrew into himself. He just bowed down and collapsed on the floor. I thought like this without even controlling myself. And Ramachandra thinks like this. And that is the truth. However did I think like this? And then Bharata comes. And by seeing Bharata's behavior with Ramachandra, Everybody was drawn to tears because he said, I have no desire. I simply want to stay by your lotus feet. I cannot suffer the separation from you. You must rule. Even when he told that, no, you must rule. You are the king. Your father has told that you should rule. He said, what does father know of what happened? You are the person. And this stupid lady, my mother, did this. And his mother was standing there and bowing down. He told, don't blame your mother. Situations and circumstances beyond anybody's control. Right? You simply have to go and rule. Because that's what you... No, you must come. He said, no, I don't come. I have to keep up my word. My vow. You see, no personal ambition for both of them. This is why they discuss like this. If there's personal ambition even for one of them, the discussion will be different. Oh, is it so nice, so wonderful quality you have. For your sake, I'll go and rule. Thank you very much, you idiot. This is exactly what I wanted. I just, you know, this is what you think inside. In the outside world, they'll say, he's a fool. They'll say, he's a fool. He and his principles. Right? He's not a fool. Actually, Bharata is not a fool. Ramachandra is not a fool. The conversations of people who have very high ideals is amazing. And people in this world will think these are both foolish. No, they're not foolish. They're very highly intelligent. So Bharata's conversation with this Ramachandra is very nice, and Ramachandra's denying kingship. He is also not saying, okay, I was always feeling a little guilty about the fact that I should keep up the vow for my father. Now that all of you are saying so, I mean, I must listen to my elders, you know. He didn't also do that. He didn't say, I should listen to Vasishta, I should listen to all the Sumantra, my ministers and all the citizens of Ayodhya have come. No. And you have also come, all my three mothers have come. Kaikeyi has come and saying, please come back, I made a mistake. So what more you need? Normally in the world, people will say, okay, this is what I was waiting for. If it is like this, then I can hide behind this. My personal ambition can hide behind this. And I can smile and say, because all of you so desire, I don't want to break the word and instruction of my father. But because all of you are saying so, I will be forced to do it. Here I come. Like this. You can cry a little bit and take away some tears, put on an act, get back and have sense gratification as the king again. No. Ramachandra said, no, I'm not coming. I am not coming. You should go. And then Bharata had come prepared. He said, I will not rule. I'll take your padukas. Padukas will rule. I am very determined. Whatever you may say, I am not the king. So your padukas I will take and go. Both of them disagreed. Both of them did not agree that I'll go back and become king. What an amazing conversation it was. Nobody is scrambling for the throne. Right? Both of them disagreed with each other, but they agreed to disagree. And they disagreed to agree. It's amazing. They both disagreed so that they'll agree on one thing, that Ayodhya citizens require a ruler. Right? Don't mess it up for them. I don't want to be king. You don't want to be king, but they should have a ruler. So they discussed and they said that you step on these padukas, you wear them, I carry them on my head. And Bharata carried it on his head. These are my shelter. Padukas are the king. Paduka is not different from Lord Ramachandra for me. So he stayed away. He said, I will not even stay in Ayodhya. Because it will be a temptation and other people will think I am the king. So I'll stay away from Ayodhya in a place called Nandigram. So many miles away. He stayed in a small hut. And he told, I promise, I take a vow, I will dress like my brother only, in tree bark. I will have matted hair. I will fast. It's mentioned he ate for 14 years barley soaked in cow urine. This is what he ate for 14 years. And slept on the floor in the hut. And every day he worshipped the padukas and took orders from here and conveyed it. He come to Ayodhya and say, this is what Ramachandra wants. Do like this. He will say and go. He had no No illusion at all in him. Little bit I can escape like this underneath. No. I don't want to do it. My mind will do this. So I want to be very clear. I am not the king. I am ruling on behalf of Ramachandra. This is what Ramachandra says you do. And exactly what austerity he is following because of my mother, I will follow that. And watching that, Kaikeyi felt even worse. Whatever I thought Ramachandra will do, my son is doing. He is actually Vanavasi. He is eating barley soaked in cow urine, which even Ramachandra is not eating. Worst austerity, more severe austerity than Ramachandra he did. So he told, you will watch me and you will feel lousy. I'll make sure I do this in such, whatever you wanted Ramachandra to suffer with, 10 times more I will suffer and you will watch. He said this to her, 10 times more I will suffer and I am determined not to be king. Because this is what you want, I am determined not to be king. Everything that you want, I don't give you. You foolish lady. This is attitude. Completely different. No personal ambition. So, you see, it's not that they are controlling themselves against personal ambition. It's not a temptation to them at all. Because they live by higher principles in life. Krishna, I am a servant of Krishna. I am nobody. If Krishna wants me, he can embrace me or he can simply turn around and kick me on the face. Whatever he does to me, I continue to be his servant. This is what Lord Chaitanya explained in the Sikshashtaka. This is strength. This is what is the meaning of power. This is what is the meaning of being intelligent. This is what the Bhagavatam offers to everybody to emulate, to practice, and to perfect. You can see perfection in Bharata. How a person gets an amazing opportunity to have sense gratification and doesn't take it up. On higher principle. In this world, if you do that, they'll think you are number one fool. Because the principle is sense gratification, position, name, fame, glory, everything we are trying to enjoy, subtlest of them all. So, personal ambition, if a person has, his leadership will be completely screwed up. How to lead people without a personal ambition? How to lead and serve them? A king serves the citizens. This is what Yudhishthira was doing. This is what Parikshit was doing. Service to the citizens. By leading them, you're serving them. That's very clear in the head. I am a servant of all the citizens of Ayodhya. This was in Ramachandra's head. This was in Bharata's head. I can be a servant even without occupying that throne. It doesn't matter, I'll do the work of a king without having the title. Who will do that? Will anybody say, you do everything a chief minister has to do, or take all the headache, you will not be chief minister title, but who's going to do that? You be the managing director of the company, right? I'll be the managing director of the company, you do all the work of the MD. Who will do that? I get lost. I'll not do it. I'll go be a pune somewhere and get a little. I want the title. That title is most important. Whether you do the job or not doesn't matter now. That's the reverse in Kali Yuga. Right? So it's a very interesting aspect of genuine leaders that they don't have personal ambition. That's very rare, almost nil. Prabhupada, he was like that. He was sitting and cooking when he was 72 years old, 80 years old. And having these people eat prasadam, teaching them how to cook, how to play the mridanga, how to tie a sari, which leader who is so great is going to do all these things? He will just say, hey, go there, you learn this, somebody. But he knew, I must be with them. Make it real. Krishna consciousness will become real and possible only when I do it and live it and they openly see it. Because there's nothing to be covered in this. This is what is my life and my private life is public for everybody to see. And everybody could see this is what is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. From morning to evening he is laboring, going, trying to get money, selling the books, chanting Hare Krishna, instructing people, making himself available to anybody and everybody, cooking, cleaning, giving everything they saw. Selfless in his personal requirement. In this way, they said, such a person is worth following. What he says is correct, because I can see he means he does what he says. Right? That is important. Nowadays, leaders, their public life is completely different from their private life. It's actually diametrically opposite to each other. You see. And the people, some of them support it also. But here the Praja, Ayodhya's Praja, they are coming and telling Ramachandra, you are our Raja. This is Ram Rajya. We want you to be an authority above us. We want you to punish us, train us, give us affection, love, everything. We want you to do everything for us. You are our leader. Right? This is an amazing situation. This is what is genuine leadership. Because if you are really, not just competence alone is not important. Many people are competent. Character. If both coupled together nicely, then you become a leader of yourself, a natural leader of others, and you are able to do good for people. So this is what Prabhupada wanted. He said, I am creating a movement of Brahmanas. And he did not mean caste Brahmanas. Because he was telling everybody from America, from Europe, everybody to become Brahmanas. He taught them how to be Brahman and lead. Leading is a difficult job. That's why nobody wants to take responsibility of a leadership. But if you don't do that, all your preaching goes waste. Because if you preach, people become convinced of the philosophy. They come to you. Then they bring their assets to you. This is my property, this is my money, and this is me. I'm so impressed by Krishna consciousness philosophy. Use me. Then you don't think you need to manage? If you get people, if you get assets, you have to manage. How can you say, no, I don't manage. I only preach. Then your preaching will not go beyond one fellow. It will drop there only. So you are forced to manage. Forced to be a leader. It's not that you can be a standalone preacher. On top of the hill you stand and speak Bhagavad Gita and chant Hare Krishna. Anybody wants can hear and they can go away. I don't take responsibility for you. And nobody will come to you the next time. Thank you for the class. Great. I don't come to you again. I look for a person who can speak and walk his talk with me and prove to me by giving me counsel and advice that it is possible to do. You stand on the hill and speak this, you stand there alone. So there are many times separatist people who want to preach and they do their own preaching somewhere in a corner. And they are not leading. Because the natural consequence of preaching is leading. This is the dichotomy in everybody's head. When they join the Hare Krishna movement, become follower of the movement, they are struggling with this. Some people fall into it because, I never got this type of respect before. It's great. People are paying obeisances to me. Simply because I'm shaved head and tilak from the ashram. Wow, this is great. Excuse me, please chant Hare Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita this. You can say all these things. And it's fun. Wow, I am a leader. Just unasked for. I'm a natural leader. Simply by putting tilak and shikha and shaving my head. I became a natural leader. People pay obeisance, take you very seriously. They sit by your feet and pay obeisance and say, Swamiji, what shall I do? I have this problem. You please bring me a Rolex watch. Everything will become all right. You please do this. It's immediately. This is a guy who wants to really. He's not a devotee. He's not a leader. He's just completely drawn by the opportunity which has come unsought to him inside and using the face of the movement and the brand and title of the movement. He has got a chance. And then he can fall a trap. And then his spiritual life is ruined. Movement is also ruined because of him. So we have to train. Have to take the responsibility of being a person who is a responsible leader. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, you will be forced to be a leader if you are genuine and sincere. And that is useful for the rest of the world. We need people who are selflessly serving everybody by giving them instruction of Krishna. And making them chant Hare Krishna and helping them to mold their life. I don't want anything from you. Just be a devotee. Because that's what will make you successful. That is genuine instruction. If you want to do something for the organization, you may donate something. And that's not going to my pocket. I don't want it. We will build a temple. We will make the worship bigger. More people come. We'll save more people. That's all. This is how Bharata was. This is how Ramachandra was. That same Bharata moment that was expressed by him on the hill in Chitrakoot to Ramachandra can be expressed by you even now. It's not that because he is Bharata alone that he is able to do that. That is an attitude. That is a quality that you can manifest even within your small realm. Within your small realm. It doesn't require another Chitrakoot and Ramachandra for me to exhibit that. And I have to become Bharata and reincarnate myself. Not required. You can exhibit that in every action that you do without personal ambition. You can, if you see something wrong, you can set it right. You don't have to think that it is not my department. You don't have to think that it's not my department. Because it's Prabhupada's movement, it's Krishna standing here and something is wrong. Set it right. And people watch you and they will be moved to set it right. Do everything possible sincerely to make a good presentation to everybody about Krishna consciousness. And you will see, you will go in leaps and bounds in your spiritual life. It's because of personal ambition of some type or the other. Personal ambition gets disguised in some way or the other. And we don't recognize it. We need somebody else to tell this is wrong what you're doing. It's a conflict of interest. It's personal ambition. And if you're pointed out, you should be very happy, not get angry. Rascal, how did you notice this? And you get angry with the other person. I was nicely cuddling and nicely couching that wonderful desire in the cushion of my spiritual life. And you came and pointed it out and spoiled everything for me. So I hate you. No, I like you because you're able to see this and show these things to me. That's the way things work. Then everybody will be able to be clean without personal ambition. And everybody will work like Bharat. It doesn't belong to me. The leadership is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada only. Right? We hold his padukas. And we rule for him, do for him. Prabhupada is giving this instruction. You can read this in the Leelamrita. On his second visit after his stroke, he came to India in 1967. In 68, he's coming back and the disciples are asking him. He's revisiting them and energizing them. Then they are not doing their services properly. Some people, this is all that. No, you must carry out the worships, clean the temple, do the arati, cook for the Lord, everything. All these things you're doing under my order. It is I who is doing it and you are my representative doing it. Then they all clicked. Oh, that's how I should think. Prabhupada is doing it through me for Krishna. Prabhupada is telling them, I am the one giving you the instruction to do it. You do it on my behalf. The cleaning of the floor, the worship of the deities, the printing of the books, the distribution, the preaching. So they became energized, thinking that yes, I'm not doing it on my own. I'm not doing it for myself. And if I'm doing it representing Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I better do it properly. Otherwise, what will people think? So in this way, the king is a representative of the Lord. Naradeva is a name given to him. He is the Lord in human form. So he rules for the sake of the Lord. He is the representative of the Lord. And he is very conscious about it. I am representing Krishna. Everybody is watching me. They should get the correct idea and become Krishna conscious. So whatever it takes, he does that. However austere it may be. Maybe he cannot eat. Maybe he cannot do this. He cannot sleep on time. He cannot do this. But he continues to do that as a service to the Lord. Same way, Prabhupada, as a service to his guru and to the whole parampara and to Krishna, did many things. This is the meaning of a leader, especially in a spiritual movement. It's more difficult to be a leader in a spiritual movement. Though it is easy to become a false leader. Very easy. Great opportunities for doing that. But to be a genuine leader, it takes time, effort, lot of work, and you have to evolve into being somebody so that you can genuinely serve Prabhupada's movement. You should take this very seriously. Everyone, whether you are a Kibha Vipra, Kibha Nyasi, Shudra Kenanoi, Yei Krishna Tattva Veta Sai Guru Hoi. It's Lord Chaitanya's order. Doesn't matter you are a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, housewife, child, father, businessman, lawyer, doctor, mother, anything. You become Guru. You instruct your wards, your dependents. And when you do that, they will look at you. Are you following it? So you'll be forced to follow. That's why parents don't instruct their children about Krishna consciousness, because they're not doing it. Rather, they bring them to the ashram. Maharaj, you tell them to chant. I ask them, do you chant? I am chanting whenever I have time. So he will also chant whenever he has time. Maybe one lesser than that. He will not chant. And the child is smiling. Caught him. Caught my father. Tell him to chant. Right? It's exactly what's going on. If you don't model it, why, how do you think the child will follow it? You can't outsource education to the school and the teachers and the ashram guru. You come here, don't solve your problem. No. You are the first teacher. At home. They are watching you, living with you all the time. If you don't model it, nothing will happen in the school or elsewhere. But that is difficult for me to follow. But don't expect your son to be like that. He'll be a chip of the old block. He'll be like you, worse than you. But you want your child to be somebody very great. You be. You be the change that you want your child to change into. Isn't it? So, everybody is burdened with being a leader. Whether you are a family member, or a father, a mother, anybody you are burdened. And most people avoid it. Because they don't care. But that in itself is the greatest tool for setting yourself right. For making you Krishna conscious. It's a natural tool. You simply follow that. You play the role properly. That's what is Varnashrama. Varnashrama means Chaturvarnam maya sishtam gunakarmas vipagasha. I am a kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmana. I am a brahmachari, vanaprastha, grihastha, sannyasi. Play your role properly. Execute that leadership that comes with that position. You will see it will cure you of all ills. You will automatically become alright. That is why responsibility should be taken. If you have a personal agenda for my spiritual life, if I take this responsibility, I will cure myself of all anarthas, if I execute it. This is how people become Yudhishthira and Parikshit. And Prabhupada wanted all of us to do that. That's why he's speaking. That's why he's writing these things. So we should take these instructions to heart. And the best we can do to cure ourselves, we should do. That is what is the meaning of a yogi. Yogi means one who strives to become perfect. As much as you can. Changing, constantly being vigilant and watching oneself, making necessary changes, surrendering to Krishna bit by bit. All these things are required. That's why it's a school. It's a very wonderful university. And it is greater university than anything you see physically outside. This is the contribution of Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And these are amazing qualities that we can hear. Yudhishthira Maharaj administered to everybody generously. He had no personal ambition. He had nothing for himself. And he ruled so nicely. Right? So we should learn these lessons. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki. So today is Pandavan Nirjala Ekadashi. And we want to offer special prayers to our dear Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, who is in a very critical condition in the hospital in Delhi because of failure of the liver and some problems with the lungs, etc. We want to offer kirtan, bhajan and prayers today for the well-being. Krishna answers the prayers of his devotees more eagerly. So we can depend more on our prayers to Krishna and Krishna reciprocating than doctors doing what they can do. So please offer your prayers and we will do Kirtan Bhajan continuously and read Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Rajshrimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.